in great need of the help of God by and through the Holy Spirit. I venture this afternoon to direct your thoughts and attention to the word which is found in the Gospel according to John chapter 18, reading verse 36. John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." What words are these that the Lord Jesus Christ spake? And they are spoken, or they were spoken in the first instance, to an ungodly, ignorant man, Pilate, who there is no real evidence that he had any true work of grace in his heart. He was a part of the Roman system of government in the land of Judea at that time. And many things have been said about Pilate in various ways. Yet how it appears certainly that he realized there was something in this person whom the Jews had brought to him. He realized there was something about him that really set him apart. And somehow Pilate had picked up on the title, which we read in the next chapter, the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" And Pilate had picked this up regarding Jesus, and no doubt he found it very mysterious. And yet it appears the way he addressed the Lord Jesus and how he responded to the pressures that were upon him, upon Pilate, that Pilate, though without the true fear of God in his heart, he still perceived something very special in the one who had been brought before him. So Pilate was somewhat put about when the Lord Jesus did not give him a direct answer to his question, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And Pilate again said, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" What a question to have been put to none other than the Lord of life and glory. What hast thou done? Oh, truly, dear friends, the Saviour humbled himself. As the word speaks of him, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And here was that obedience displayed by the Lord Jesus. And he would not argue, as it were, with Pilate as to the rights and wrongs of why he had been brought before Pilate. No, he would not descend into petty arguments or discussions or debate. But how remarkable it is, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Oh, friends, what gracious words are these? And it is evident that this, to some extent, put Pilate more in the picture as to why the Lord Jesus should be brought alone and there should be none with him if he were indeed a king. Oh, friends, what an answer the Saviour gave. Now, it has struck me as I stood up this afternoon to venture with this word. I wonder if there are those who have come to the house of God today with a question in your heart. Pilate had that question that I have just enumerated. What hast thou done? That was Pilate's question to the Lord Jesus. The Lord knows if there are those here and you have come into chapel this afternoon with a question. And perhaps your question is directed, as it were, in your heart to God, even to the Lord Jesus. I do not know what your question is, but the Lord knows. And if the Lord has sent me this afternoon, this is his answer. Jesus answered. Dear friends, how we need help to listen. How we need help to ponder. Jesus answered, and hear what he says. My kingdom is not of this world. Oh, friends, what a word spoken at such a time as it was with the Lord Jesus, standing under a sentence of condemnation before a godless man. And he answers in this way. But dear friends, surely here is the word of a king. And where the word of a king is, there is power. My kingdom is not of this world. And dear friends, how we need grace given to hear his voice and to understand what he would say unto us. Dear Job was in that place, I believe. He said, "I would understand what he would say unto me." Poor Job, he was in a very difficult place. a sad place with his afflictions, and he had that which the Lord had permitted to come upon him. Many things, not just one thing, but many things that the Lord had permitted to come upon a poor Job. But he came to that place. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Oh, have you been brought there, poor sinner? And just before those words that I have read, Job had this to say: even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, friends, what a desire I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. That's a good desire, to want to know what the Lord will say. Oh, friends, this is the language of living faith. The language of our fallen, sinful nature is, well, I will find out another way. I will look in this direction. I will look in another direction. I will see what a man has to say. I will see what the arm of my flesh will do for me. My own wisdom. That is our own heart by nature. But oh, the difference, a poor sinner waiting upon the Lord. I would know the words which he would answer me. Well, dear friends, here, Jesus answered. It came, and oh, if it comes this afternoon from his own mouth, my kingdom is not of this world. Dear friend, what a poor, dying world we do live in. Oh, the well-known words that come off the tongue easily enough: vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Yes, it comes very easily from the mouth, but I believe, dear friends, it is another thing to have to live and prove it. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And when things that we have treasured and esteemed in this world and in this life are shown to us to be nothing but vanity, our poor nature finds that hard. Things that we think are worthy of esteem, things that we would put a trust in, things that we would value and count as worthy of note. But God says all is vanity. Oh, friends, then, there is here a clear direction that the Saviour gives. My kingdom is not of this world. Oh, how much we may cast about, and how much, when we are left, we seek to build up our little nests, and we seek things that this life has. And I am not saying that everything here is wrong. Dear friends, the Lord has given to the inhabitants of the earth I believe he has given to all men many things. It is his goodness as the Creator. But when the things of this earth and of this life become an idol or a snare, then we are in trouble, we are in danger. And the exhortation of one in the epistles is, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Oh, then, how is it with us? How the hymn writers come in one way and another on these things. And one or two lines are going through my mind, but I cannot get them clearly enough at the moment. But one line comes like this, on what have thy fond hopes been stayed, still seeking rest, but finding none? Well, poor sinner, if the Lord is bringing you along that line, then there is hope. When Noah let the dove go forth from the ark, she could find no rest for the sole of her foot, and she had to return to the ark. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. And we may seek, and some are left to seek long, in the things of this world, and may do well and obtain advancement and possessions and pleasures and the positions in this life. But, dear friends, we will never find in those things of themselves, we will never find the Lord Jesus. Oh, we shall not find him in the things of this life. But the Saviour himself said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. But, oh, friends, and I think especially of our younger friends, how this world clamours for our attention. How much is set before us, paraded before us, thrust upon us, lifted up for us to see the things of this world. Oh, how much. And especially, it seems to me, we live in a day when imagery is everything. And dear younger friends, and dear all, how we need to be delivered from the power of imagery. So much is set before our eyes. And also attractively presented. And we are, before we know, the Lord Jesus, I believe, himself spoke of the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. But friends, there's nothing of the Lord Jesus in them. They are barren. They are indeed dark. There is no life. There is no real light. It is all virtual. We have that expression today in computer language, virtual. And I believe really it is a very true word with much of the imagery that there is. It's all virtual. There's nothing that's really real. A man seems to want to live in a virtual world, not a real world. Man does not, by nature, want to come face to face with reality. Oh, what a dreadful day it is, dear friends. But by nature, we are just as the same. We will be just as happy to go on in those things. But if you and I have the Lord who has come and touched our heart, you will want something that is real. You will need something that is real. Oh, friends, the hymn writer said, am I made a real Christian? A real Christian. Washed in the Redeemer's blood. And friends, there is the reality. A true Christian is one who is bought, purchased, with nothing less than the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is those whom he died for, whom he gave his own heart's blood for. It is they who will be found here below in his kingdom and presently in his everlasting kingdom in heaven above. My kingdom is not of this world. Well, this world is passing. We know the word teaches us it is. And presently the day will come when earth and the heavens will be rolled up as a scroll. And all the elements will melt with fervent heat. Oh, what then? A passing kingdom and kingdoms will be all rolled up together and will vanish. But, dear friends, there is an everlasting kingdom. There is that which was prophesied in the day of Isaiah. And what a blessed and wonderful prophecy it is. And no doubt the verses will be read in various churches and chapels in the coming weeks as the Christmas season draws near. But, dear friends, does it mean anything to us personally? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And then notice this, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus answered, my kingdom. My kingdom. Oh, friends, are we found, desiring to be found, one of his subjects? One of his people. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Oh no, the kingdom here in the word of God, it is an everlasting kingdom, and really it's had its beginnings before time began. And in those deep mysteries of eternity past, every one who will be found in this kingdom, a subject of it, a favoured subject indeed. Every one was given in the holy mind and will of God, by God the Father to God the Son, that in the fullness of time the Lord Jesus Christ might present every one of his dear people at last, faultless before the throne, with exceeding joy. Oh, friends, there we have the throne. This kingdom has a throne, and that throne is in heaven above. And yet, poor sinners are still permitted to draw near to the footstool of him who sits upon it. Oh, it's a blessed truth. And when we read in the prophecy of Isaiah again, towards the end, if I can turn to it, what the Lord says there. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. There is a description of one of the citizens of this kingdom. The man, the woman, the child that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Oh, dear friends, the Lord's people are a poor people. It is one of the descriptions of them. And there is that word, I will leave in the midst of thee a poor and an afflicted people. And friends, so they are. The Lord's people are an afflicted people. Many are the afflictions, and varied they are. But there is one affliction that the Lord will lay upon every one of his dear people in his own time and in his own way. And what is that? Dear friends, it is the affliction of knowing that one is a sinner. That is an affliction. Do you find that to be so? To have that knowledge wrought, that experience, sin. Oh, what an affliction. How it separates from your soul from God. Now, that is an affliction. I always remember when I was a boy, and I had my brother next to me, 15 months younger, and he had asthma from about 11 months. And so as we grew up, especially in the winter time, he wasn't well enough. He was too poorly to go out. And I was fit and well. And so I could go out and enjoy things, the snow in the winter time and so on. Whereas my brother quite often had to stay indoors. He couldn't go out like I did. Well, friends, you know, when we are brought under conviction of sin, it will become like that with us. We can't go and enjoy the pleasures of this life anymore. And you will feel to be an afflicted one. But, dear friends, what have I just read? The Lord looks upon him who is poor and of a contrite heart and trembles at his word. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If we looked at the world in general, well, some would have us look at it like this, that we're pointed to all the achievers, all those who have done well and got on. And it's natural enough to talk about them and to have them set up as examples. Natural enough. But dear friends, that is the kingdom of this world. Those who have achieved, who come atop, who succeed in all their different pursuits and accomplishments, about a child of God, well, the Lord will touch our hearts. He will touch our lives. And we shall find that we can't, prosper in our natural abilities and powers, only as the Lord permits it. But how many have had to prove that those abilities and powers that they've been born with, the Lord has touched them and has brought you down. And you can't go on in life like that. And the Lord has brought you down to his feet. And you've had to find, you go in a way that the Lord appoints, not what our natural heart will go after. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." This morning at home, I ventured with a word in the Epistle to the Hebrews. I just mention it because in a way it overlaps with the subject now. And that is, those in the Epistle to the Hebrews, where the Lord speaks of them through the Apostle Paul, of those who by faith, by faith accomplished this and that and the other, as the Lord did for them more abundantly than they could ask or even think. But then the verse comes in, these all died in faith. And at the end of that same verse, it says, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Strangers and pilgrims. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Are you then among the strangers and the pilgrims on the earth? Is the Lord Jesus your king? Is he your object of your first desire, that is, your best desires? Oh, happiness, thou lovely name, where's thy seat? Oh, tell me where. Learning, pleasure, wealth and fame all cry out, 'tis not here. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Oh, then, dear friends, which kingdom are we found in? We might well, it would be good for us if the Lord would give us the answer to this. Which kingdom are we in? Even this afternoon, we are found in the Lord's house. That is a great mercy. But of itself, it does not necessarily mean that the Lord is our King. Oh, what subtle, deceitful hearts we have. And there are many who have come to the house of God and they are found in it no more. I do hope those younger ones amongst you here will not be permitted to leave the house of God. But, you see, the Lord will make known to us if we have that which he begins, he which hath begun a good work in you. He will make known that this world is not our home, and we will be brought to feel it. We will be brought to have those things that the Lord so orders that we desire indeed to leave it. And we desire to seek those things which are above. And that we might know more of this glorious one. Of whom we may sing at the Christmas season. Who is he in yonder stall? At his feet we humbly fall. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. 'Tis the Lord, O wondrous story. And I can't quite remember how to crown him Lord of all. May not be quite like that, but some of you know that one. Yes, the King. Oh, is it our desire to be one of his, to fall at his feet, to be found under his righteous laws, to be found hearing his voice, to be found seeking to do his will? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. But, oh friends, it is a kingdom, a wondrous kingdom. And poor sinners are called out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light. And to have him, the Saviour, to be your King. Oh friends, what a favour indeed. To be favoured to have a place in the kingdom of God's dear Son. My kingdom is not of this world. But the Lord Jesus here, I just perhaps notice it. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight? Well, surely there is teaching in this. Perhaps there are times when we may feel like fighting. And I speak here when we realise the cause of God is under attack. And we, of course, rightly view, we are concerned. But, dear friends, the kingdom of God, we do not use earthly weapons. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But friends, no, we do not. Well, if we take up earthly weapons to defend the kingdom of grace, let us beware. Peter had to see the servant's ear that he struck off. He had to see it restored. But the Lord Jesus Christ knew where the foundation of his kingdom was. And that was a foundation that was laid before the world began. It was in himself. And upon this rock will I build my church, my kingdom. Oh, that but now, says the Lord Jesus, is my kingdom not from hence. And if ever there was a time that was then, but now, he said to Pilate. But now, the Saviour was about to suffer and to bleed and to die, because his kingdom was not from this world. No, but his kingdom was founded in his everlasting love. And when he prayed to his Holy Father, he said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, yes, every one of my dear subjects, from the least to the greatest, they are mine. I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. There is the King speaking. That they may behold my glory, which thou gavest me, or which I had with thee, before the foundation of the world. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Well, dear friends, oh, that the Lord may give us that enquiry to seek that we might be found one of his, though perhaps the least, and that will be our desire under grace, that we might be found in his kingdom, set free from the kingdom of this world, and delivered from the power of Satan, and found under that glorious King. And those words, you know, five things, and I leave those with you, there's so much in them. The prophecy and his name, King Jesus, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, friends, what a King. Amen.